You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have run the chapel.
We're back in studio tomorrow. Andy Strickland to join us. Wednesdays with Strix. Kenny Wallace, normally on Tuesdays, traveling out to Las Vegas today. We'll talk some racing with Kenny. He's out in Vegas. And also, Charlie, after much hype and anticipation, Lord Gunnar will be on the program tomorrow.
Lord Gunnar is a huge fan of Arsenal that loathes Stan Kroenke.
That is correct. And somehow we became Twitter friends during the Rams exit and all of the Kroenke angst. Somehow we followed each other, and then we tried to get him on. He sent his phone number. I've never talked to the man.
Does he live stateside?
He lives in New Jersey, I believe. So I gave Gardner his number, and I said, call this guy, and let's have him on, because the Arsenal talk has been big lately, and they were chanting the other day. It's only the Brits could do. They weren't saying, Kroenke, you suck. They're like, dear Stan, leave our team alone. Dear Stan, it was a little polite.
It was, I actually saw that on Twitter, and the chant was so long that you couldn't understand.
Right.
It was like, dear Inner Stan Kroenke, please leave our club immediately.
As it is written on this day, and like, this is a chant.
Four score and what?
So it's interesting what's going on with Arsenal, and Kroenke's entertainment group had to put out a statement that said, we plan on being, and they didn't say long-term successful owners. They said, we plan on being long-term investors in this club. They even used the word investors. So Lord Gunnar is a longtime critic of how they're doing things. Gardner calls him, and he told me as the phone's ringing, he's like, oh, my God, what's the guy's name? Do I say Lord Gunnar?
Goonzy.
And his real name is something else. It's Nigel, so he is from England.
It's a good English name.
But did you go, is this Mr. Gunnar?
I go, he answers the phone, hello, and I go, Lord Gunnar? Question mark? And he's like, and there's like an awkward pause, and he's like, who? And I go, Lord Gunnar? And he goes, Lord, oh, from Twitter. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know your name. I'm sorry. All I know is your Twitter handle.
And he's probably like, my wife and kids don't know I'm on Twitter all night complaining about Arsenal. Anyway, he's going to be on the show tomorrow. Thursday, we're going to be at the Village Bar. Today, we're at Patios right next door to Busch Stadium, downtown St. Louis. And I had an idea, Charlie, because I'm an idea guy.
Sure you are.
The food here is great. And if you work downtown and you're having like a conference or a meeting.
A courier conference.
Whatever you're having downtown, there's all kinds of people working downtown. Order the food from Patios. Get a huge carryout order. You can eat it in the office because the food. The other day when I did the 25 ribs, travels real well.
How many did you eat on your way home in the car?
That's not a good food car. I kind of keep the car clean. I did none is the honest.
You wanted to though.
I thought about it, but keep Patios in mind for all your lunch needs. Open at 11 a.m. You can always park in back, but do check out the ribs. Check out the entire menu here at Patios. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe, and this is fun because I love this book. And I have yet to open it. It's called Lost Treasures of St. Louis, and the author is with us, Cameron Collins. Cameron, welcome to Patios. How are you?
Great, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about the origin of the book, why you decided. Is it because we can't quite get over the past in St. Louis?
That is a common theme in St. Louis. The St. Louisans love to look back and think of the city at a different time, and it's a very historic-minded city. And it was actually the project was one that was the kind of the brainchild of several people, and they tapped me to take it and run with it. And after 2 years, here I am.
Was it harder because you didn't grow up here? You're from upstate New York.
I am, yeah. Actually, it was difficult, but it also gave me a fresh perspective on the city. And it was a wonderful joy to go back and talk to all these people about their memories and so forth. However, there are some treasures in there that I still miss from since I've been here about 20 years. There are plenty in there that I experienced as well.
And I see even in opening here, flipping through it now, the Bevo Mill has come back as a newly constituted Bevo Mill. But I guess as people once thought of it,
yeah,
it's not quite the same spot.
Yep. There's even a couple others that Lemons, for example, on Gravois is now opening again in kind of
and you're like, dude, I just wrote a book saying we miss you.
I
now
know.
You're back.
Yeah.
Trader Vic's, that's a great call. Polynesian Paradise in St. Louis, Charlie. Bush's Grove, which had a little bit of a rebirth there for a minute 10 years ago or so. People don't realize you'd sit back in little huts at the back of Bush's Grove.
Yeah, the cabins behind there.
So where did you turn for not only the selection of what goes in the book, but also the intel on some of these places?
Both came from just interviewing scores of people, just sitting down and talking to people who remember times past. They were even the people that provided the photographs. Getting the photos was almost even more difficult than the content itself. But every time I'd interview somebody, they would have another idea. Well, if you're going to talk about this restaurant, talk about this one. It was easy to make the list of everything. And then just research came from interviews, a lot of diving into the archives of newspapers and magazines and listening to people tell stories.
So like yourself, I moved to St. Louis. It was about 9 years ago for me. But you hear about kind of the main attractions when you have visitors, you go to the brewery, the Arch, Botanical Gardens, the zoo. But it seems like you have, you know, the book is called, the hidden treasures, the lost treasures. What are a couple that you think even somebody who's been living here for maybe 10 years have not heard about, some places you got to go?
Well, I even have some older lost treasures in there. Stuff like the St. Louis Motordrome. This was a motorcycle track on South Grand with a 63-degree bank where these guys would ride motorcycles that had no brakes at over 100 miles an hour. And, I mean, death was a common event. It was there, and it packed 10,000 people in for these races. A lot of amusement parks. People may remember Forest Park Highlands and Chain of Rocks, but there's others in there like Del Mar Gardens. A lot of people don't know that in the Loop right now, you know, if you were standing in front of Blueberry Hill, 80 years ago, you would look across the street and see an amusement park there. So there's some great stuff.
And then the restaurants. We love the old restaurants. Noah's Ark out there in St. Charles for years with the animals out front.
I couldn't leave that one out.
The Lettuce Leaf. I remember that one downtown. If my mom's listening, she'll remember that. This was novel back in the day. The whole restaurant, the whole menu was based on salad. Charlie, you wouldn't understand. A lot of us eat healthy food.
Like you. Yes.
The Lettuce Leaf, I didn't realize this. A St. Louis U professor and his wife decided to open the restaurant in Clayton, built on the entree that had been rarely featured before, the salad. The Lettuce Leaf ended up downtown, Westport, Crestwood. There was a bar. Loyal listener Chris Pelican would like to know that there was one called Pelican's for over 30 years. A 20-foot neon pelican. 20-foot neon pelican welcomed visitors to a neighborhood restaurant located in a building dated back to 1878. That's a little before my time.
The building is still there, and it's actually slated to be renovated. But the pelican sign would beam up and down Grand Avenue, and the place was famous for turtle soup.
What was the family name Pelican, or did they just like the logo?
Yeah.
That was at Grand in Shenandoah, Ruggieri's restaurant, Ed's White Front Barbecue.
What about Glendale? Anything in Glendale? I live there. Martin grew up in Glendale. Anything interesting?
I don't know if you'd have. There's not a lot of dining there, or.
But I do. You know,
Cousin
really,
John's house.
I try to give the whole area plenty of attention. There's plenty of North County, North St. Louis. There's a few East St. Louis. There's a couple out in St. Charles. But it does focus on St. Louis City itself. I'm kind of bringing everybody back into the city. But I sprinkle a few others in there.
Tell me about the Top of the Tower restaurant.
Yeah.
This almost looks like that shot you always see in L.A. or Hollywood where it's Tower Records, where mm-hmm. it's that iconic-looking building.
Yep.
Where was this?
That was in North City. And it's still, the building is still there. It's empty right now, but it was a famous place in its day. One of my favorite interviews, that restaurant was mentioned, a veteran of the Battle of the Bulge told me that was where he proposed to his wife when he returned from the war. Or actually, he proposed to her later on, but it happened there. So there were great memories like that people were we're bringing up.
And where is that building? That's up north?
I can't remember exactly what street
Lewis
it's
and
on.
Clark Tower.
Yep.
Great view of St. Louis. You could see Clayton and Alton all from the same dining chair, and at the time it was the top of the tower restaurant. How much have you heard from people since you put this out? Say, hey, you forgot. My dad used to have a barbecue shop. My dad had a restaurant. My mom used to run a sewing place. Have you heard people telling those stories?
It was something I was worried about, but fortunately it's been light. Not many people have, I think that they appreciate that there's so much in there and they know that I couldn't get everything.
Great pictures, too. Good coffee table book.
Yeah.
Luigi's, Diekmeyer's, Helen's
Brain
Pizza.
Brain Sandwich, yep.
Oh, Racino's. I've been there. That was kind of the basement one in the West End.
Yep.
You had to duck when you walked in.
Yeah.
That closed recently, I want to say.
Yeah, actually, last night I met Mary Rose Del Pietro, who also owned Del Pietro's restaurant, but her family was the Racino family, and she bought one of the books, and it was like an honor for me.
I didn't know that. She was always, I went to high school with the Del Pietros.
Yeah.
She was always the hostess at the front there at Del Pietros on Hampton, and then with her son Mike with Sugo, she'll work the front there just to kind of still get her restaurant fix.
Yeah. Now, are the Rams?
I didn't know she was a Racino.
Are the Rams in here?
Yeah, there's actually the sports section, and it's funny you mentioned the Rams. When the editors first read the copy, they were like, hey, you're a little light on the Rams. And I was saying,
a little light.
I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, you know, the wound is still pretty fresh there. But yep, the Rams are in there. All the soccer teams, even some of the old, like the St. Louis Stars, baseball and soccer. So you got cool Papa Bell. And of course, also the arenas are in there too. One of my earliest memories of St. Louis is I was living in Dogtown and I saw these hordes of people walking through the streets of Dogtown and they were all walking to go see the arena.
The implosion.
And I saw these people just very emotional about it. And it was, at the time I was like, what's going on?
Right.
But now I understand.
People say there's nothing to do in St. Louis, but one weekend my friends and I all went to Forest Park to see an arena get blown up real good.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
But
I was like, I saw Steve Miller, I saw Bruce Springsteen, all these concerts, in addition to seeing the Monday Night Miracle, the blues games. The restaurants, I could spend hours on this. The Green Parrot is an old name that I've heard. Flaming Pit.
That was one,
a St. Louis staple.
That's one that probably almost was mentioned in nearly every interview.
And on the text line, somebody's saying the old Al Baker's, which I saw, was in there as well.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a restaurant, but club, like a hangout, I think, on Clayton, in Clayton.
Yep. I have some taverns and beer gardens in there. There's another one. There was a beer garden on Shoto, not too far from here, that could hold 10,000 beer drinkers at once.
Now, how many of these, I mean, probably a small amount, have you been to some of these? So in the last 20 years, are there a couple that come to mind that you went to that are gone?
The Admiral, of course, but it was a casino when
the
I
president,
was here.
Yeah, the President Casino was the Admiral, right?
Yeah, yep.
I think.
The Parkmore is one that I remember.
Down the street from CBC, Chuck.
Yep.
Noggles, which is where High Point Drive-In. The High Point Drive-In, the Sugar Fire guys did that. That's the old Noggles location. That was where Scott Dixon got robbed, the Indy driver. That would have been, not that the neighborhood's bad, but that was the late night hangout, was Noggles.
Interesting. Burger Chef.
This is a tough Burger one for Chuck. Burger Chef, the Good Humor Man. All right, so tell us about yourself. You came from New York. How does a guy from out of town end up living here and get interested in all these lost treasures of St. Louis?
So the story's kind of funny. I graduated from the University of Dayton in Ohio, and I called my parents up and said, hey, I'm coming home. And they said, absolutely not. We are done with you. Go out and make your way. And my best friend was from St. Louis, and I was living in an attic at the time. I had nowhere to go, so I said, all right.
Was it a finished attic? I mean,
it was, okay. But it was not.
They know you were up in the attic? I didn't know exactly if you were holing up or.
So I came to St. Louis, and I thought I'd be here for a couple years, but I kind of started to really enjoy my time here. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I started to really get interested in the history of St. Louis. And actually, to this day, I think St. Louis has one of the most remarkable stories of any American city. And so I started writing this blog called Distilled History. and a couple years, and it, you know, it got some traction. And a couple years ago, a publisher reached out to me, sent me an email, said, "Hey, let's talk book ideas." And 2 years later, here I am.
A drinking blog with a history problem, yeah. Distilled history. And I think a lot of people forget, I even forget, you go back 100 years, I mean, St. Louis was one of the biggest cities in the U.S. It was a huge, bustling city.
It was, you know, and even earlier than that, in the 19th century, St. Louis was, you know, it was massive. It was the gateway, really was the gateway to the West. Everything that happened west of the Mississippi, the stepping off point was St. Louis. And, you know, not even just Lewis and Clark, but it was, you know, the fur trade and everything. Like, if, you know, there were printers and shoemakers, if there were, you know, these places weren't in California yet. So that's where the St. Louis, you know, that's where they all popped up here. And it's just, you know, even coming into the 20th century and St. Louis, the story of St. Louis and how it's scattered west in the population, even that's good history. The stories in this town are remarkable.
And flipping through the book, Lost Treasures of St. Louis, Romper Room, which used to be on KTVI Channel 2. She had this looking glass at the end of the show, and my Aunt Seal knew her, so they would say names. I'm looking at, you'd be sitting at Grandma's, and they'd say, "I'm looking at Martin and Paula and Pat," and you'd be like, oh, my God, how can she see us? The Charlotte Peters Show, my mom will love that reference. Wrestling at the Chase, Captain Eleven's Showboat, Cookie and the Captain, which I think Rich Gould reenacts that every once in a while.
I think so, yes.
Bowling for Dollars, the Arena Bowl, DB's Delight, the game show, local game show for
DB's
kids.
Is the bar down there in Soulard, right?
Different reference, okay. But
we love patios, by the way.
By the way, I'm looking for, there's no 590 The Fan. We're too new, Chuck, because we're all new. It's the all-new 590 The Fan. The Globe
is, okay,
Democrat.
But what about The Woman? Because that would
too
be
new,
that would be
new.
A lost
although,
treasure,
be, right,
1380
it's
The
nostalgia.
Woman.
Nostalgia. A lot of architecture in here, the Marquette Hotel, the Switzers, the old Licorice family had a building down on Laclede's Landing. So where do people find this very cool book they can flip through?
Sure. It's actually for sale at, you know, all the local bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Left Bank Books, even in some stores such as STL Style and Cherokee. It's at the brewery. It's on Amazon. But you can buy signed copies right on my blog, Distilled History. And
I heard you deliver them.
Yeah, I've been doing that, and it's
been a little weird.
It's a little weird, but it's been great.
Like, what do you mean weird? That's
well,
very
mean, it's
personal
friendly. I'm sorry,
and cool.
It's friendly. It's friendly.
You get it literally right from the guy who wrote
I'd
it.
I'd rather have that than the drone dropping off a book, you know.
Yeah.
By weird, I mean cool. That's what I meant by that.
And yeah. He said sales are awesome, correct?
They are. It's doing better than expected, and I'm really excited about it.
I would honestly tell you, if you're 25 to 85, you'd flip through this. I mean, you might be 25 and say, "God, I used to go to the park more," maybe. Or your parents used to talk about these things. Scruggs, Vandervoort and Barney was downtown. People would go there. It was a department store, but also not like a Woolworths. What do you call that? Where
it
you
was
sit at the counter.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call that? Like a diner kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's actually so many stories of people. Like, they were day trips where you would go downtown with your mom, and you would make a trip to the tea room when you were shopping, and or maybe to Miss Hulling's cafeteria or something like that.
And I saw Deerdorf and Hart's. That was there when I got here.
Yeah,
correct?
That's
I mean
one.
That's just recently. That
yep.
It's,
okay. I think the last one in Westport closed recently. It was
gotcha.
At the Union Station for a long time. Newsbeat, there it is. John Aubel and Dick Ford featured in here. We were talking about that show.
Yeah, Jack Carney's in there.
Regis Philbin used to have a Saturday night show in St. Louis. A lot of people don't know that.
Sally Jesse Raphael was...
I think she was Channel 5 before mm-hmm. she kind of blew up.
Bowling for Dollars, another reference to the arena there.
Yeah, this is very cool. And again, if people listening say, my dad would love this, my mom, my uncle, whomever, best way to get it is how?
I would say the blog. That
the
would
blog.
Be the best way. But again, it's for sale in all local bookstores and Barnes & Noble and so forth. And...
Sounds like the margins are a little better on the blog, maybe.
Maybe. was it that obvious?
Hey, just come out and say it. We don't care, right?
I like it.
So
entrepreneur.
What are some cool spots you go to now, being a guy who's come to appreciate St. Louis and all its kind of nuances Give us a few places maybe that are below the radar right now.
Wow, below the radar. That's
or favorite hangouts that you've come to make your own.
Yeah, as you can tell, I have this drinking blog or history drinking blog. So some of my favorite places are like the Royale on Kings Highway, places like Planner's House on Shodo. And that place makes the best cocktails.
I've heard, if you want a cocktail, like if your parents are in town and they say, hey, let's just go have a cocktail before dinner, you know, that they know how to use bitters and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard the building's beautiful, too, right?
It is, and it even borrows its name from a hotel that's in the book that was one of the most famous hotels in America in its time.
It's so, right next to the Missouri Valley headquarters.
I think I've been there recently.
Yeah.
That's a good call, too. Well, Cameron, thank you for coming by. Beautiful book.
Thank you.
And we recommend people check it out. Also, the blog, Distilled History, all about St. Louis. I'm telling you, you could – like, we get on Wikipedia or Baseball Reference, and we get lost for, like, hours. People – I mean, I know about 10 people who need to have this book. And
well, buy 10 of them. He's probably got them. I bet you in your car, in the trunk, how many you got?
I think I actually have 17.
See?
17? All right, I'm going to buy a couple here in this break.
I know that would go well with the people I run with sometimes. And also, I've always said before, if you're with a group of people who's over 70, like holidays or whatnot, the conversation always goes to where old neighbors lived by, which old neighbors live by you, where they live now, or about the old Rexall Pharmacy.
Right.
So I think this will blend well with
Rexall's in there, too.
Is it? See, yeah. There you go.
The Coral Courts, it's where I met your mother. Oh. I was like, okay.
Coral Court, that was probably the number one, the no-tell motel. That is prominently featured in that book.
All right, quick break here. It is the Midday Grind, 590 The Fan. We're the fun show, Charlie. We started out earlier. We were kind of the dumb show. Now we're the fun show.
Why do you say that? This was the racing show, and then it became the baseball show, and now it's the local history
show.
That's
why it's the fun show. You joke that we were the dumb show. It's also
and the food show. I've never said this was the dumb show. I actually think, again, and for a history buff like Cameron here sitting here, when you're in your car and you're just driving for 20 minutes, everywhere's 20 minutes in St. Louis, listening to somebody talk about old-time baseball players or James Bond, it kind of gets you through your drive. You know what I'm saying? It's mindless, but it's interesting.
All right, and a quick match game on the way out. A much younger version, but Cameron... A little bit of Mike Martz. Anybody?
I can see that, yes.
Especially with the headset on. Looks like, could you just say we're going to be fast and furious and we'll get that fixed. All right, quick break as promised. But first, a sponsor that I want to tell you about, which is Window World. They've been in St. Louis since 2003. Their phone number is 993-1800. Simply the best for less. That is their slogan. Home of the original $189 window. So if you're in the market for new windows, how about one that is low cost, high quality, comes with a great warranty, supervised installation. Every single window at Window World is custom made. WindowWorld.com, the website, phone number 314-993-1800. In St. Louis since 2003, the owners were college friends and decided to bring this to St. Louis, Jim and John. And since then, they've been real involved in the community. Big trivia night, raising money for charity every year. Great organization and a great product. Window World, one of two windows that has the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Set up that appointment at 993-1800. Or if you need siding or patio doors, they have that as well at windowworld.com.